Psalm 23 is probably the best known of all the Psalms, being universally admired. Multitudes have loved its words, and many have lived and died by them. Now, even many unbelievers know the words of this psalm. It's often read at funerals, or used to be, and often whenever you see a death scene on a film or on TV, where the dying man's friends have to say some brief last words for him, it's often the words of Psalm 23 that see him on his way into eternity. But this pearl of the psalm, the simplest, sweetest song that has ever been sung, is not in fact written for the world at large, or for unbelievers in general, but for the saints, for believers, for you and I. For this song was sung by a believer to express the intimate relationship that a believer has with his God. In fact, my Bible has the title for this psalm as David's Confidence in God's Grace. Now, this relationship is expressed in the terms of a shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd in this psalm being the Lord himself, and the sheep being we, his people. Just like the good shepherd loves, cares, feeds, and protects his sheep, so the Lord shepherds us, his people. So we're going to look at this short psalm together this morning and see what we can observe about divine shepherding and what it means for you and I today. And I'm going to mention three things briefly this morning. First of all, we see that divine shepherding is personal. In the opening verse of our psalm, David could proclaim, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And as already mentioned, this psalm pictures the Lord as the shepherd of his people. This theme occurs in other psalms, of course, not just Psalm 23. So we read, for example, in the first verse of Psalm 80, that the psalmist could proclaim, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock." And in Psalm 78, the psalmist speaking about the 40 years wilderness experience of the nation of Israel, said, "He made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock." Now, this shepherd theme continues, of course, in other parts of the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah could say of the Lord, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." The prophet Ezekiel spoke in a similar manner. When looking forward to the promised Messiah, the Lord could say through his prophet, "I will save my flock. I will set up one shepherd over them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd." And of course, this picture continues in the New Testament, as we saw when we read John chapter 10. Jesus said, verse 11 of that chapter, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In a letter to the Hebrews, Christ is referred to as the great shepherd. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, refers to the Lord as the chief shepherd. And this pastoral picture is also used in the context of the church. Jesus told the Apostle Peter to feed my sheep. He told the Apostle Paul, told the elders at the church at Ephesus to feed the church of God. Now, I'm told that the Greek word translated, where we get our word elder today, is of course from where we get the word pastor from as well, because one of the functions of a pastor is to lead and feed the members of the church. So when David penned this short psalm, the picture he portrayed of God and people being shepherd and sheep would have been a familiar one, not only to him but also to his readers. Wasn't the prophet Samuel sent to anoint David, who at the time we read was among the sheep? So later the Lord could say to David, "I took thee from the sheepcot, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." Wasn't the land of Israel a land of shepherds? Wasn't herding flocks a way of life for many? Wasn't the hills and the terrain of the Holy Land ideal for keeping sheep? There was, we read in Luke's Gospel, at the time of Christ's birth, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. It's interesting to note there, isn't it, that one of the first groups to hear of the announcement of Christ's birth is the Lamb of God's birth, were lowly shepherds. So the Lord is a shepherd to his people, but this relationship is more than just a group relationship. It's also an intimate individual one as well. So David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew, of course, by experience, that a sheep was owned by somebody. It was an object of property. It was not a wild animal that could roam about free and look after itself. David also knew that the sheep was not only someone's property, but he also knew that the sheep was valuable because it had either been purchased or had a lot of time and care spent upon it. Knowing all this, David was happy to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Could you say that or want to say that about yourselves? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, many today in our fallen, sinful world think and behave, sadly, like wild animals. They believe they can say, do, think what they want and when they want. They believe they are free agents, owned by nobody, responsible to no one, and they live their lives as they see fit. But this may be the thinking of many in our fallen, sinful world, but it is not the truth of Scripture. The Bible, God's Word, gives us a totally different picture. For the Lord is our Creator. He, by the power of His Word, brought all things into being out of nothing. From the tiniest cell, which we can't even see with the human eye, to the 100,000 galaxies many people believe exist. He made them all. He sustains them all. And, of course, He made man. He made you and I. Your existence, therefore, is in His hands. The very breath you are breathing right now has been given to you by the Lord. Each day added to your life is a gift from Him. You are therefore not a free agent. You have an owner. The Lord is your Creator and you are one of His creatures. And neither are you free to do what you like, for He has given you His commandments as well, and will judge you one day on how you have responded to Him and to them. However, the Bible not only tells you that God is your Creator, but He also tells us that the Lord can be your Saviour, your Good Shepherd as well. You see, the Creator values His creatures. He loves them so much that when they went astray, He didn't abandon them. He didn't say, I warned them, it's their fault. He didn't forget them. Rather, when the Lord was ignored, disobeyed, insulted, He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek and to save that which was lost. The Good Shepherd gave His life on the cross to pay the sinner's penalty. The Lamb of God shed His blood to redeem His people. The prophet Isaiah put it this way, speaking about our sin and of the coming Saviour. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You see, the Lord is a loving owner, one who cares for each one of us and wants each one of us to be one of the sheep of His flock. What great mercy that is, that the Lord wants us to be one of His sheep. What love, amazing love is that, that the Lord of glory wants to shepherd us. What grace is that, that He, the sinless Son of God, should pay such a price and give Himself to redeem us and to make us His sheep. We can also see from verse 1 that divine shepherding is personal from the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," but also from the second half of that verse as well, for David goes on to say, "I shall not want." Now, this portrait of the shepherd and his sheep raises up pictures of care and provision and protection, because a good shepherd is personally concerned with the welfare of his sheep. It's his task to keep and look after the sheep. And this personal concern is revealed in that phrase, "I shall not want." For everything else said in the rest of the psalm, of verses 2 to 6, flows from this phrase in verse 1. For example, "I shall not want from rest and refreshment," verse 2. "I shall not want from restoration, righteousness and guidance," in verse 3. "I shall not want from protection, companionship and comfort," in verse 4. "I shall not want from provision and joy," in verse 5. "And I shall not want from security, both in this life and in the next," in verse 6. Moses, speaking to the people, could say, "These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing." In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the believers at Philippi, could say, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, Jesus Christ is to us who are his sheep all that we ever need. There was a story told about a little girl being taught verse 1 of Psalm 23. When she had to say it, she misquoted it, but she got the full meaning just the same. She said, "The Lord is my shepherd, what more shall I want?" Could I ask you, are you in want? The foolish virgins in Matthew 25, who ran out of oil as they waited for the bridegroom, were certainly in want. The prodigal son in Luke 15, rolling about in the filthy pig pens of his own sin in a far off country, was certainly in want. And the rich man in Luke 16, suffering the eternal pains and agony of hell, was certainly in want. But it was too late for him, of course. All of these people were in want because of their own foolish neglect of the opportunities they had. Don't you make the same mistake. Your needs can be met by the Saviour. Therefore, flee to the Good Shepherd. And let your testimony be, as David says here in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, divine shepherding is not only personal, but we can also see from verses 2 and 3 that divine shepherding is positive. In verses 2 and 3, David tells us, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, of course, sheep must have grass and water in order to survive, and it is the shepherd whose job it is to find these for the sheep. Now, a good shepherd, even in the wilderness, knows where the grassy patches are, and in times of drought, he knows where the springs of water are hidden. So too for God's sheep. Divine shepherding is also positive for you and I. We who are members of God's flock will never lack anything that is necessary for our spiritual well-being and our spiritual survival. For the Lord is active in meeting our every need. Why does the shepherd lead his sheep to the green pastures? Well, because the green pastures are good, for they are where the young, tender grass grows, the best grass. The green pastures are good because they are where the sheep can lie down and eat. And the green pastures are good because they are where the shepherd can watch over his flocks, keeping them safe. So the green pastures are good, positive places to be in. And after a good meal, the shepherd leads the sheep to small streams to drink from the still, refreshing waters. So the still waters are also good, positive places to be in as well, for they provide for the needs of the sheep. Now that the sheep's appetites have been satisfied and their thirsts quenched, their whole beings are now refreshed and restored. Here in this psalm, The green pastures and the still waters picture places of contentment, where the sheep are fully fed, fully watered, and fully satisfied. For here the sheep are in the best places, getting the best nourishment, and in the presence of the best person, their very own personal shepherd. So too with you and I, who are God's people. For one of the first benefits we get from divine shepherding is spiritual nourishment given to us by the Lord himself. Spiritual, I believe that here the green pastures and still waters are the word of God and the spirit of God in our lives. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So God's word is always fresh and tender and satisfying to the needy soul. And the doctrines of the gospel are the right and fit food for every believer. And so are the work and operations of the Holy Spirit. They are like the still waters that cleanse, refresh, and revitalize us. So when we study and read the word of God and let the Spirit of God apply that word to us, our spiritual appetites will be fully satisfied, our spiritual thirst fully quenched. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will feed us and lead us, because left to ourselves, of course, we are prone to fill our lives with the rubbish of the word, the world, if you like, junk food instead of spiritual meat. But also our indwelling sin makes us prone to wander. So we need to keep our spiritual eyes and ears on our good shepherd, the Lord, at all times. So we see from verse 3, we can see another positive benefit of divine shepherding that we need, and that is his guidance. We read, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm told that in ancient times, in the East, shepherds made sure their sheep were not walking into danger by walking ahead of them. By doing so, the shepherd made sure the sheep got to the right place in one piece. The shepherd, therefore, did not drive the sheep from behind, but rather called them from ahead. You know, when the Lord is your shepherd, you can listen to his voice and follow him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Then we'll get to the right place safely. Our Lord will lead us by his word and by his spirit, and he will always lead us in the paths of righteousness. For he always leads us in the right direction, the direction that is pleasing to him. He cannot and will not do otherwise. And that right direction always gets us to the destination he wants to take us. And that destination is, we hear in this verse, the paths of righteousness. So to get there, the scriptures tell us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the Apostle Peter tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The right path is not always, of course, the easiest one. Sadly, so many paths, so many biblical ways that a believer should take are now seldom used and are being abandoned altogether. Far too many Christians seem to have a pick and mix attitude to the commands of their shepherd. They are happy to obey his voice in some things, but will never follow him in other things. They want the best of both worlds. Therefore, their Christian nourishment is limited, their progress hindered, because they have failed to follow properly their master's voice. So we've seen very briefly from our psalm that divine shepherding is personal and is positive, but we see from the rest of the psalm that the divine shepherding is protective. In verse 4 we read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, when the Lord is your shepherd, you must expect changes. Yes, you will have the green pastures. Yes, you will have the still waters. And yes, you will have the paths of righteousness. But you'll also get the valley of the shadow of death. For the Christian experience involves the ups and downs of life, and the dark valley experience is just as true for the believer as all the other experiences I've just mentioned. The shepherd often had to lead his sheep through some very rough and tough and dangerous terrain and situations. There was great peril for the sheep as they walked through the dark valleys where there was little light, as they negotiated the steep cliffs, the overhanging rocks and the narrow paths, situations and predicaments that would have filled the sheep with great fear. So too for the believer. There will be many experiences which we would rather not have, ones we would rather avoid. The world with its pains, its passions and its problems will put us through some testing experiences at times. But like the sheep in this psalm, what will see us through them and through to the other side is the shepherd's presence and the shepherd's protection. For I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, David proclaims here. For what will take much of the pain out of our dark valley experiences is the knowledge that his presence overcomes even the worst of things. When the shepherd led the sheep through some dangerous terrain, he would talk to them continuously so that they would be given assurance by the sound of his voice. And if the sheep got particularly fearful, the shepherd would come alongside them to walk with them so that the sound of his voice and the sight of his presence would calm them. The assurance and calmness given the sheep by the shepherd's presence and protection is observed in that little phrase, "Yea, though I walk." You see, the sheep feel safe. There is calm. They don't panic. They don't run about all over the place and flee, but walk in the presence of their shepherd. So too with you and I. There's no situation that we will ever find ourselves in that the Lord doesn't know about, and when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear, for our divine shepherd is with us. Does not our Saviour tell us, "I will never leave thee or forsake thee"? Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord tells his people, "But now, thus saith the Lord, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God." So if your life is difficult today, just keep on following the shepherd, for his presence will see you through it. Divine shepherding is not only protective because of the shepherd's presence, but also because of the shepherd's control. In that last sentence of verse 4, we read, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod and staff were the symbols of the shepherd's office. By them he protects and guides the sheep. The shepherd's rod took care of the sheep's enemies, and the shepherd's staff took care of the sheep. For the club and the crook were instruments of defence and deliverance. We also in our Christian walk need protection, guidance, security, discipline, comfort and control. And the instrument our divine shepherd uses, his spiritual rod and staff, if you like, I believe is his word, the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Apostle Paul informs us, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As one Bible commentator neatly puts this verse, the Bible tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Divine shepherding is not only protected because of the shepherd's presence and control, but also because of his care. We read in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." There are times when wounded sheep need special attention from their shepherd and extra protection from him. Surprisingly, I know nothing about sheep or farming, of course, but in my reading for this sermon, surprisingly, I'm told that injured sheep don't need the shepherd's special care and protection from any wild beasts, such as lions, wolves, and snakes, as you might have expected, but from other sheep in the flock. For the sheep's worst enemies at times came from within rather than from without. Sheep, I'm told, are very cruel creatures. So when one of their own is wounded or injured in some way, little compassion is displayed towards them. On the contrary, the sick sheep is pushed, butted, and attacked by its own. In the East, the shepherd would prepare a table to protect and care for his vulnerable sheep. This table, of course, is not a top with four legs as we have in our households, but a small piece of land, about 20 feet by 15 in size, a small rectangle. At one end, the shepherd would place his rod, at the other end, his staff. Then he would lay his cloak down on the third side and himself on the fourth side. The injured sheep would be placed within the table and would then be fully protected and cared for. This rectangular piece of land, this marked off area, constituted the table prepared for the sheep in the presence of its enemies. None of the other sheep would dare to step over the rod, the staff, or the cloak of the shepherd, or over the shepherd himself. The shepherd's presence and the shepherd's possessions would protect the wounded sheep. So too with you and I. If you feel your enemies are all around you, then you need to rest in the presence and care of your divine shepherd. You need to stay extra close to him and so experience his love, his care, and his strength all around you. But the shepherd's care does not end here. For after travelling through the dark valley and before putting the sheep into the fold for the evening, the shepherd examines each sheep individually. If he sees any that are bruised or hurt in any way, he applies some refreshing and soothing oil to their wounds. Oil, of course, in the scriptures is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So each one of us needs at times and daily to receive from our divine shepherd a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in order to heal our hurts and soothe our wounds and to make us strong enough again to serve our shepherd. However, once the shepherd has tended to his sheep and got them into the fold, his work is still not done. For after a hot, dry day, the sheep would be very thirsty, so the shepherd has to fill their cup until it overflows, so that the sheep can drink until they are fully satisfied. The sheep's cup, of course, was not something that we would drink from, but rather a large, hollowed-out block of stone placed near streams. It was a stone trough. The shepherd would scoop up the water from the stream and fill up the stone cup for the sheep to drink from. The shepherd would keep on filling the trough. He would never stop pouring until all the flock had had their fill. How like our divine shepherd, who gives us new mercies every morning, who meets our every need and gives us abundant spiritual life. Surely then we can say, "Thank you, Lord, for my cup runneth over." As we observed already, divine shepherding involves our protection, and this protection includes his presence, his control, and his care, but it also includes his commitment to us. In the final verse of this short psalm, we read, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Often if the shepherd found an orphaned lamb that had been rejected by the rest of the flock, he would take it into his own house and raise it up together with his own children. The lamb would become like a family pet. The adopted sheep would experience the full benefits of being part of the shepherd's family, and the sheep would know the shepherd's commitment to him until the end of its days. So too with each one of us who belong to the Lord. We are adopted members of his family, and we will know and experience his full commitment to us forever. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Note the spiritual progress in our psalm for the believer. From the green pastures to the still waters, from the paths of righteousness to the Lord's help through the valley of the shadow of death, to the house of the Lord forever. And on this journey, David tells us, you will know the Lord's goodness and mercy. These words are covenant words, words revealing the Lord's continuing support and commitment to his people. One commentator likened them helpfully, I thought, goodness and mercy to two sheep dogs that help to keep the sheep together and get them to their destination. As we close this morning, could I ask you, is the Lord your shepherd? He can be if you respond to his voice. Then you will know, if you belong to him, that divine shepherding is personal, it's positive, and it's protective, and that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.